This year will be different.
This year will be different.
This year, I need to eat less. You know what? I do solemnly swear that this year I will lose 10 pounds. Or at least 5.
5 is the magic number. That's how many times I want to visit my grandmother this year, which would be 5 more than last year.
Learn to wait. I always want things instantly. I need patience. Now! This year, I'll
be nicer to my parents. What, Mom? Get off my back.
I just need peace in my life. I'm just so nervous all the time. I'm twitching. 3 kids. I'm a twitcher. I'm twitching. I twitch. I just can't seem to get
my pits to stop sweating. Can you see this? Look, when did I become the human leak? I mean, I know I've got some stress about my future and everything, but why can't I just be like everyone else and you conceal it? Okay, I'll just have to fake it till I make it. And I'll
be better than I've ever been in my entire life.
If I'm gonna make this year count, I have to do some things differently. It's toupee time.
Make some goals this year. Just 3, not 10.
Stop judging people who aren't like me.
Stop snapping at my kids.
Dream!
Character over image.
Learn that I'm loved, but not entitled.
God, did you forget about me? I'm here. Just show me what to do.
Give me the strength to change. What am I saying? I don't even know if I want to change, God. I'm comfortable. I have a good life. I know. You want the best for me. So why don't I want the best for me?
Starting tomorrow, using my gifts and talents, I'm going to live my life differently. God's way.
I'm tired of keeping this great gift.
A secret. Can I tell you a secret? I feel like I'm separated from something. That sounds weird, doesn't it? But whatever I need, it's bigger than this world can
offer. I offer my life, God. It's something much more than what I can see. So please, God, would you just take this little bit of faith that I have?
I just can't wait another year.
Good morning. Maybe there's some questions you might be asking, some things that might be going through your heart at this particular time. Maybe, maybe not. But some of you kind of have this big, big like section that has food that you got to finish by January 1st, because if you don't, then it's just gone. No, not I'm not the only one who's got that. Okay. This is an intriguing time, don't you think? You're kind of stuck in between nostalgia and anticipation. Isn't that true? You're kind of looking back and you're looking forward and you're trying to do both at the same time, and it can kind of be a little bit disconcerting. Don't you kind of wish, you know, and perhaps this is what the video was trying to say. I think all of us have this this question. If you're a passionate follower of Jesus, there's this prayer or something that is in us every year that kind of says, okay, God, what do you have? What do you have in store for me? What is it that you want to do? And every the first week of every year, I always do what I call a vision casting sermon, just to kind of say, here's where we are. This is where we want to be. This whole thing. But in order for there to be any kind of vision, there has to be the agreement that we are going to do different things, or do things differently, or perhaps take that step of faith. Because, you know, vision without execution is hallucination. Is it not? Vision without execution is hallucination. And I don't know who, I think that was, Henry Ford or Einstein or Confucius. One of them, it's been accredited, that statement, to so many. Basically, you know, if you have vision and you're not active, then you're just daydreaming. So next week we'll be either daydreaming or we'll be visionizing, depending on how we want to act. Amen? But here's the thing I've always wondered. Don't you wish that you kind of had these special anointed glasses where you could kind of see the future and be able to act on it and see what takes place. And Scripture talks about this. It talks about the fact that, listen, above all things, get wisdom. I give wisdom liberally to everyone who asks and to seek Him and call on His name. And He's the God of yesterday, today, and forever. We should be going to Him at this particular time if we're wanting to know what God wants to do in our lives. You know, and it says that He's omnipresent, omnipotent, omniscient, omnipotent, omnipresent. The three omnis. He has all these things, and He has your good fortune in mind. And so the desire for us is to go ahead. But don't you wish that there was this kind of way? You ever met these people who can just see things happen before everybody else does? The truth is, there are a lot of people like that. But there are very few people who see things before they happen and actually have the boldness or the conviction to actually act on them. Isn't that true? And this is kind of where we're at. And in the spirit and the memory of Christmas, I wanted to introduce you to a character, and I wanted to introduce you to a story that happened just a little while after the very first Christmas story. It's found in the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, verse 25. Tells an interesting story. It says that there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was a righteous and devout, and he was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was on him. And it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Messiah. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the courts, and when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you may now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all nations, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel." Now wave at me if you've kind of heard that story before. You've kind of read that. For those of you who are veterans, you should know this story. But there might be some people who are here who, you know, maybe don't have a whole lot of Bible knowledge. This is kind of an interesting story of some type of a miraculous event that had happened just as Jesus was going through the dedication process after birth. And so somehow supernaturally this guy had found something out. What other people had missed, he had seen. And that's the interesting thing about this guy. This is what made Simeon distinct. He saw something that nearly everybody else didn't. And if I were to be honest with you, I would like to be like this. Not in that I would want to be any better or smarter than you. The reason I want this is because I just don't want to miss the boat when it comes to the things of God. I would like to be the first one in line. And dare I say, I believe that you believe the same thing. I don't think anybody wants to miss out. Do you know how many people miss out on revival? That there have been these tremendous revivals that have happened in Pensacola, Florida, and in Asbury, there was a revival that had taken place. And I can cite them. That there was an element of people, godly people, people who love God, who just missed out on it. And I'll tell you this, I don't want to miss out on what God does. Do you? Absolutely not. I want to be in the middle of everything that takes place. And that's why tonight what I want to focus on is I want to focus on the fact that we want to set our lamps. We want to set our lamps to the fact that we want to see the Spirit of God move in a powerful way. And so what I want to do is I want to say, God, here I am. Put me in the position that you want me to be so that when you do speak, I'm ready to go. Amen? Amen? I think we have to have those times. We have to have those times where we just kind of say, okay, God, here I am. I don't want to miss out on anything. So I invite you to that service tonight. And that's what we're going to be doing. I don't know exactly how it's going to go. I'm just going to trust that the Holy Spirit is going to move at that particular time. So as you do this inventory, this is the process. This is the story that we have. And I think the life of Simeon kind of gives us a clue. There were certain things that he did. There was a certain way that he was that I think that we should be like as well. See, there's a lot of things that Scripture tells us about this guy named Simeon. Like he was a devout man, it says. He was a godly individual. He was a patient individual. And as good as those are, I'm going to not so much ignore them, Maybe I'll come back another time and speak about them. But there are some distinct things I find about Simeon that allowed him to be able to see what other people missed. In the spiritual realm, that is, anyways. And so, as a church, I think this is the way that we should be. As an individual, for a person who is a father and is heading his family, for someone who is at work and wants to minister to their friends, for those people who have people in their life who they cannot imagine heaven without, this is for you. This is for you. He had three qualities that I think we should be able to look at from this particular passage of Scripture and apply them to our lives. Okay? So here are the three. Here's the one anyways. I'll start with the first one. First thing was this, is that he was anointed. What do you mean by anointed? I hear that word a lot, especially in the church. This is part of the church dictionary, isn't it? I don't hear this word a whole lot outside of church. It is a solid part of the Christianese dictionary, wouldn't you say? I don't hear people who don't go to church say, "Wow, that I felt an anointing there. It was an anointing that took place." No, you don't hear that, do you? What exactly do we mean when we say he was anointed? Well, I say this, that the work and the dynamic of the Holy Spirit was an active part of his life. How do you know this? Well, verse 25 says the Holy Spirit was with him. Verse 26 says it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit. Verse 27 says, moved by the Spirit. Now, if that's not a clue, I don't know what it is. I think that the author kind of was saying these things on purpose. Hey, the Holy Spirit was a big part of this. And the one thing that makes Simeon distinct in the work was that the Holy Spirit carried in him an anointing. Now, you may not think that that's all that special. And some of you may not know this. But us who are part of the New Testament covenant, well, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God comes upon us in our heart. It worked a little bit differently before the resurrection. The Holy Spirit came upon people for a distinct particular time. And so this was kind of unique in and of itself, that God had distinctly used Simeon for this thing. It was interesting because God moved in him in a powerful way because he was just focusing on him. The one thing we need and the one thing you will need as you enter into 2019 is what I will call the anointing of the Holy Spirit. For God to move dynamically in you as an active part of your life. And here's the thing, too many times we're trying to do God's work on our own strength, depending on our own efforts. Either that, or we're too busy, or we're too distracted, or we're too self-focused, or we kind of have an idea in our head as to how that's supposed to be. And it may not be the exact way God is going to do it. That happens. The anointing of the Holy Spirit is this. It is the great equalizer. He's no respecter of persons, no respecter of gender, no respecter of race, no respecter of age, no respecter of talent. He will equally flow through those who submit to him. He will gladly fill and baptize those who wish to be filled. The qualification is absolutely simple. Passionately love and follow him and be open to what he is wanting to do in your life. Sounds easy, doesn't it? The Holy Spirit will make an average speaker speaks powerful truths into people's lives. The Holy Spirit will make someone who is timid bold as a lion. The Holy Spirit made Peter, who was a denier, the deliverer of the message of Pentecost. It does great things. And here we are as evangelical Christians, and we put a great emphasis on prayer and the Word of God. But it's the Holy Spirit that allows the prayers that we pray and the scriptures that we read come alive. It is absolutely essential for us in our walk. And as we enter into 2019, how much do we desire the Spirit of God to work in our lives? And what part will he play this year in your life? Ministering through you, ministering through the church, ministering through your family, ministering through your workplace, ministering through the ministry that God has put in you, in your marriage, every part of your life. What part will he play in the decisions that you make and the people that you share your faith in and the guidance that he has in everyday affairs of your life? What part will he play in the fulfillment and the advancement of your ministry? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. Let me even go to this length. Not to pursue the Spirit in your life is a definite revealing of pride in a believer's life. Because if you're not pursuing the Holy Spirit, basically you're saying this: God, I think I can do this myself. But you know what? You can't do it yourself. To me, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is not an option. What made Simon see what others could not? The Spirit of God. What will bring insight into your life? The Holy Spirit. What will bring confidence into your life? The anointing of the Holy Spirit. What will bring results into your life in the spiritual realm? The Holy Spirit. What will create power in your life and boldness in your conversations and in your success and your efforts to win friends and family to Jesus? It is the enabling power of the Holy Spirit. And if God is tugging on your spirit right now, then it's the Holy Spirit bearing witness to that fact. You need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You need the presence of God. Or maybe we can just wait till camp. That's when that kind of stuff happens, right? We got to wait for camp to happen to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. No? Maybe? I think it can happen right now. I think it can happen after the service this morning. I think it can happen tonight as we seek Him and call on His name. The first thing that Simeon had, the first thing that made him see what he saw was an anointing, a dynamic of the Holy Spirit interwoven into his life. Here's the other one. It says that he was aware. What do you mean by aware? It was the fact that he was looking for something. He was a righteous person, not in the sense that he kept all the rules. He was a righteous person in that he ached for God. And as a result, his eyes became open to what God wanted to do. It says that he was looking for the consolation. He had an eye open for it. It was something that he was passionate for. He was so in line with God that God said, here's what you need to look for. And so this is an interesting thing, don't you find? I have found that many times we actually get what we're looking for, which is why many times we don't receive anything, is because we're not really looking for anything at all. You know, we search, Jeremiah says, you'll search me and you will find me if you seek me with all of your heart. Matthew says, ask and but she shall be given to you. Seek and you shall find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. Paul in the book of Ephesians chapter 6 says, hey, our battle's not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. It's a declaration that you need to be aware. Paul Peter basically says, hey, be sober, be vigilant. Hey, have your eyes open. This is what's taking place. This is what's going on. 2 Kings chapter 6, Elisha says to the servant, the servant's terrified because of what is taking place outside and says, hey, take another look. Those who are for us are more than those who are against us. You see, what you see happening may not be all that is happening. God calls for us to be aware. And tragically, the thought is that believers go through their lives unaware. Unaware of the place that God has for them, unaware of what the Bible says about their lives, unaware of the authority that they have as Christians, unaware of the destiny that God has for them, unaware of the gifts that God has put in their lives, unaware of the direction that God would like to lead them. I believe that God desires us to wake up. Wake up to the things of God, the things that He wants to do through us. I would imagine that the most frustrating thing, or amongst the most frustrating things that God will experience, is to have Christians, believers in Christ, walk through life oblivious to the things He is directing in their lives. And as a result, there are weapons that we have access that we never, ever use. There is faith that doesn't get exercised, and we end up losing certain key battles in our lives. The question is, as you enter 2019, the question I ask myself is this: am I aware? Am I at the point where I am looking for what He is trying to do, what He is trying to do? Where are you, and where do you stand in the grand scheme of things? Because let me tell you, if you understand where you are, if you become aware of what God is wanting to do through you, yes, you, yes, your life, I believe it will change you. I believe it'll change how you act. I think it'll change how you react. I think it'll change how you interact. I think it will change how you live. It'll change how you give. It'll change how you forgive. Maybe this message of the Holy Spirit is screaming at you this morning. Are you aware? Are you beginning to see the things that I desire to do through you? The reason Simeon saw what he saw was because he was looking for what God was going to do. Are we? So the first one was that he was anointed. The second thing was that he was aware. And this third one is important, is that he was anticipating. This is an important one because it not only asks what you are looking for, but it also asks, am I putting myself in the position to see this fulfilled? Am I actually going to the place where it had happened? If I become convicted or convinced of something, I will position myself to the place where God wants me to be. It is the faith step of positioning myself in the place where God wants me to be. The Holy Spirit had revealed to Simeon where it was, and so he said, well, that's great, God. I'm going to stay in my room. And that thing happens. No, he put himself in the place where God wanted him to be so that that took place. If you're here and God reveals to you and you're single and God reveals to you, this year you're going to be married. And you say, oh, that's wonderful, God. I'm going to be in my room. I'll have my headphones on. I'll be listening to music. And when that person flies through my window, I know it'll be you. Really? Ever been to the amusement park? I was never a camper. I have fragile bones, people. Camping's not for me. I think it was Jim Gaffigan that says, I don't know why I have to pay money to live like a homeless person. But what we do like is we like amusement parks, and we like water parks. And so we used to go to the water parks. And a mainstay at a number of these water parks is that big bucket. You know what I'm talking about? That big bucket, that huge, huge bucket, and it's filling with water. And you can see just this great big, huge tab pouring water into this thing. And as it gets fuller and fuller, right? You with me? It begins to tip. And all of a sudden, you can just kind of see it happens. And then what happens is all of the smart kids and their parents will stand at the perfect position so that they receive the biggest amount of water blast. They receive it all. I want to be in the place that when that tips, I get the greatest amount of water. I get the most fun sensation from it. Does that not make sense? You kind of see how I'm going here spiritually, do you not? That there's a faith step that is on our part that says, okay, God, I believe that you are going to this. I'm convinced that this is where you're wanting to be. So I'm going to put myself in the position. I'm going to take this faith step. So that when you do move, I'm going to be in the right place at the right time. This is what Simeon did, right? I remember when my first child was born. A wonderful experience. But if I just kind of moseyed in after whatever period of time they stay in the hospital now, I'm not too sure. What do they stay in the hospital now? 30 minutes before they kick you out? It seems that way, doesn't it? But if I were to somehow mosey on with my hands in my pocket, and say, nurse, I'm ready to bring my wife and my wonderful child home. The nurse would say, okay, well, where's the baby seat? Well, baby seat. Baby, I never really thought of that. Listen, the baby can lie on my lap. I'm a good driver. I'm sure things will go well. Well, where are you going to put the baby? In the crib? Well, I was thinking of clearing out a spot in my basement. Could probably put a blanket down, put the baby there, I'm sure that the baby will be fine. You know, we like them to be able to endure, you know, heartache at the beginning so that they grow up tough. Something along those lines. They say, you can't take this baby home. You're not prepared for this baby. What were you doing for the last 9 months? Shouldn't you have been painting the walls? Shouldn't you have been buying a nice crib and one of those bouncer, do they even allow those things now? I don't know. They may be illegal now. I'm not too sure. Is your car ready? Like you can't just have a baby seat. You got to have one that's kind of secured in there. They kind of bolt them in there, don't they? You need that. No, if you're having a baby, you're anticipating, you're painting that room, you're putting things down, you're putting carpet, you're putting those little mobile things up there. Perfect. That's what we do, don't we? We position ourselves. We anticipate. I anticipated the baby. Well, my wife did it more. The way it works is my wife says, we're going to paint this room. And then the next day, there's a can of paint there with a paintbrush for me to paint the room. So we painted the room, basically. And we got a crib. And we still have that crib because we're anticipating, you know, within the next 30 years to have maybe a grandchild somewhere along the way. And the thing is, anything important in life you will anticipate for, will you not? How come spiritually we don't do the same thing? How come we're not saying, okay, God, I want to get as close to you as I possibly can so that I can hear your voice and I can receive the anointing of the Holy Spirit and be aware of what you're wanting to do? And when I all of a sudden become aware, when you speak to my heart, God, I want to put myself in the position where you can best utilize and work in my life. Does that not make sense? You know, this is something which is important for us. This is what had taken place. And I could imagine, folks, I could imagine with Simeon. He could have said at an old age, well, I thought that's what was going on. But now I'm older. I'm getting kind of tired. I don't want to hang around the temple anymore. There's lots of kids here. How am I supposed to find out the one who's supposed to be the Messiah? What he had to do was he had to take a step of faith because he had to wait a long time. Sometimes we lose anticipation in the wait, don't we? Have you ever done that? You know? And so Scripture talks about the fact that we need to be fueled with anticipation, fueled for a passion to know him, to be honored with that passion. And God moves in his life. And it makes me ask, how intense am I to see the will of God accomplished? How passionate am I to see what God really wants to accomplish in my life? Let me put it another way. If zero was absolutely no anticipation, you don't care, you're totally oblivious, and 100 is, I am at the top level of anticipation. Let me ask you this morning this question. What is your anticipation number? Give you a couple of minutes to think that over. What number am I? And maybe, what are the things that have knocked that number down? I used to be at an 80, but now I'm kind of at a 70. You see, this had taken place in my life. What is it that has to be done to turn me from an innkeeper who missed it to Simeon who saw it? What is it? What are the things there? And maybe the other thing is, what are the things that I have to do to make this a reality? Because that's the real question, isn't it? What does it cost? What am I willing to do? We say, I'm willing to do whatever it takes, God, even if I don't get the glory, even if I got to be the person in the background, even if there are certain sacrifices that I have to make, things that I like that I have to give up somehow to see God move. What am I willing to do to see it take place? God, move. Maybe that's the major question. I say, God, I have had an interesting 2018. And I'm thankful for the good. I'm thankful for the bad because I believe God is in everything, right? The question all of us are asking ourselves, if you're passionately following Jesus, or maybe you're here and you're just kind of along for the ride here and you're just trying to figure this thing out. God, what do you have in store for me as this new year begins? Because I honestly believe with all of my heart that God wants to do great things. But will I miss it or will I find it? That's a good question to ask ourselves as we end this year, is it? I remember reading a story. They've had so much advancements in technology and in the medical field, that they are starting to be able to do, particularly in the area of eye exams and that, that they're being able to restore sight to people who have not had sight for years. And I remember reading one particular story of a guy who had had either some type of a virus or something, or some type of accident had taken place, and for 8 years, he didn't have sight. But as technology advanced, the doctors came to him and said, you know what? You are a perfect candidate to have this retina replacement or some kind of lens changing therapy. I don't know exactly what it was that was taking place. All I know is I was reading the story, was that this guy who had lost his sight 8 years ago, all of a sudden had this operation, and after 8 years was able to see. He had an 18-year-old daughter and I think a 15-year-old son, and he had not seen them since they were 7 and 10 years old. Think about that for a second. Wouldn't that be an experience? To all of a sudden, after so many years of blindness, have this miracle of science, so to speak, I think it's still a miracle of God, take place, where all of a sudden you can see again. How many of us have been walking around with blurred vision? How many of us, and I don't know what's happened in your life, and I'm not sure what has taken place, but somewhere, somehow, along the way, other things have gotten in the way. Somehow we've been distracted. Certain things have blinded us. And now God is here and he is saying today, I would like to restore your sight. I want you to start seeing again. I want you to put yourself in the place where I am best able to move. See, you will ultimately get, I believe, what you are looking for. What are you looking for in 2019? It's time to draw near to God. And if you do, he'll draw near to you. You see, you can make excuses and you can make progress, but you can't make both. God, I pray that you'll move in our hearts and our lives. And my passion, God, I know my passion is to actually see you move. And I know that I can't orchestrate that. But what I can do is passionately follow you this year. Say, God, I want to be in the place where you want me to be. I want to be able to see things and not just be able to see things, to have the conviction, the strength, the boldness, Father, to go in the place where you want me to be so that I can be in the place where you want to do and I can be effective for your kingdom and I can see friends that are in my life that are lost come to know you and I can see miracles take place. And I believe God wants to do that. I believe that God wants to do that in all of our lives. What if every one of us was like Simeon? God, I pray, Father, that you will release in us a desire to change, a desire, Father, to have more of you, a desire, Lord, to be baptized afresh and to know you afresh, and the Holy Spirit will work and move and anoint us and anoint our ministries and make us effective, because there are so many people in this community that don't know you. And there's so many people who need deliverance, and there's so many people who are looking for something which is real, and we have it. God, move in a powerful way, we ask. In Jesus' name, amen.